Welcome to Breaking Barriers. You know your path. We know the obstacles, and we can teach you how to tear them down. And now your host, CEO and founder of Adapting Social, John Vigero.
Guys, welcome back to another episode of Breaking Barriers. This is our 5-year anniversary slash celebration. With us today, we have Jake Thomas, who we're super stoked. Dude, I think anybody out there who has maybe seen him, his Instagram is Life Like Jake, right?
That's right.
I think you have such an interesting life. You have such an interesting perspective on the things that you do, how you live your life, the impact you want to make on people. So before we even dive into anything, I want to start there first. How did you start to develop that mindset of wanting to give back and to serve versus wanting to like really focus on yourself and gain?
Great question.
Yeah.
I'm still answering it,
you know, myself. It's progressive.
A lot. And I'm like, why do I keep doing this? But like, no, it's rewarding. I do it because it's self-fulfilling more than anything. It feels good to me. Started, I would say, probably in the military, you know, like a debt of service, right? Like it's kind of the job. And then from that, everything I've done since in career-wise, whether it's, you know, odd job and throwing away trash at a bar, working in the oil field, now into real estate, it seems to be like a continue to put myself, you know, looking for the best interests of other people. And it seems to serve me pretty well, you know, here.
Right.
And yeah, I don't know, man, that's kind of where it's going.
But you know the weight of those two, which I think is awesome, right? I think those are your compasses, right? In terms of what you're doing, which has again been evident since we've been, you know, knowing each other and working together. I do want to first off just thank, obviously, I know Marine, right? So thank you for your service.
Oh, thanks.
You too. Super, super, again, looking at the journey. I remember when we first had the conversation about you wanting to do the whole bike race with the city bike.
I actually.
Is that still in the cards?
Yes. I emailed you. Please respond because I've reached out to you, City Bike.
We're going to tag City in this and make sure they respond back.
Yeah. I would love to do that and raise some money for a friend of mine's charity also. He's an amputee. And just to kind of do that, you know, I've had friends say like, hey, man, you're not going to want to do that. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be enjoyable. I'm like, no, it'll be cool. Like, it'll be something I do want to do. So, like, yeah, I'm pretty going to do it in May.
So, listen, so first off, I can't wait for that. I will be there 1,000% rooting you on. You can bet for sure my ass is not getting on a bike. But I'll be rooting you on. But one of the things I do want to talk about, so going back to Jake, you know, I think from knowing you and just, again, just before even we started working together, just kind of like looking up on your bio from real estate, you're a pretty gnarly dude in terms of the shit that you do. Like, you're like an adventurous guy. Why real estate, right? And I'm asking this question because I want people who are listening in, you know, whether they're like making a career choice, changing careers, you know, just trying to find their why. Like, you go from jumping out of planes and this and that and, you know, being on the battlefield to, you know, now, like, you know, in some of the most prestigious real estate in the country. I'm just curious how you got to say, I'm going to do real estate and why real estate was your medium.
You know, the first question you asked about service and whatnot, when I was in high school, the Jesuit high school that I went to, their motto was men for others. And that was cool then, but it stuck with me forever. And so, like, everything I've kind of done has been a continuation of that. So I'm grateful to have learned that and kind of had that hold dear to me. And then with real estate, it was really an epiphany one day of, was it an ivory tower of a beautiful office building on Madison Avenue working for a famous fashion apparel company, and I just was not feeling it. The people were great. The company was great. I'm still wearing the brand today. I love them. But the work itself wasn't doing it for me. I didn't feel fulfilled. I felt like what I was doing wasn't contributive, wasn't substantial, wasn't significant. I felt if I wasn't there, they wouldn't miss me. Whatever I turned in, it wouldn't matter.
It was just another number.
Yeah, and not out of malice, just out of circumstance, right?
Totally.
And so one day I was looking down, and it was a snowy day, and I saw the ants running around on the ground, and I was just like, man, I need to be down there. You know, like back thinking like a Marine again, like an operator in the field, you know, kicking indoors and just being more effective in the battle space on the micro perspective. Because I was looking down, it was like macro, and I was like, I don't belong up here with the upper echelon. I need to be back down there with the grunts, right? And so talking to family, my brother mainly, his wife, his girlfriend at the time, and they were like, you know, she's a licensing attorney for real estate.
Okay.
And she's like, you know, I see a lot of your friends coming in here in the business and cutting them some pretty big checks. Mm-hmm. I think you're a little bit brighter than he is or she might be. And
right.
My brother's like, hey, this guy, I mean, dude, come on. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe, right?
Right.
And so putting those things together.
What year is this? Is this like?
2016.
Okay, got it.
And yeah, so a few years ago. And I started kind of put those things together. And then one fateful night, I started sneaking out of the company then to go to take night courses for real estate. Mm. And seeing the margins, seeing kind of the workflow, the tempo, what was expected, the 90% washout rate of first-year agents in New York.
It's insane.
Very attractive to me.
Right.
Right? I was immediately like, okay, I'm kind of into that.
Right.
That whole one percenter thing has always been a thing, right? Like few the proud, you know, the high school I went to, all these things were always vertically sloped.
And right.
People said it's impossible, it's hard work. But the way I see that, when someone says it's going to be hard, I'm like, okay, like anything else? Like,
right.
Does it require?
I love that people make that a barrier. Like,
yeah.
Like,
oh,
boom.
It's like the big one.
Door closed.
And it's a main one. Like, right. Hey, man, I don't know. It's going to be a lot of hard work. So I don't need four arms. I don't need three eyes. Like,
right.
Like okay. Right?
Right.
Or like, I don't know, man. Not a lot of people do that.
Right.
It's another one. I'm leaning into it even
more.
You're
like, you're giving me all the benefits. What are the hard?
I mean,
what are the hard things?
Like the city bike thing. Like, oh, dude, that's gonna be tough. You don't want to ride that across five boroughs. I'm like, dude, I know it's gonna be hard.
Right.
I don't want to do it because it's hard, but I want to do it because I want to do that.
Right.
And I'm gonna be the only guy on the dang thing. You know what
right.
I mean? So, starting to put the numbers together of like, okay, if I give up salary, that's a risk, mm-hmm. right? I don't know this industry. I don't speak the language. I know nothing about it. But I was like, if that person, these people, da 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 da, can do it. I was like, it's something learnable, which means it can be taught, which means I can figure it out.
Right.
And so this fateful night of the first course that I took there, one of the founding brothers of a firm that I was with, the one I had been with since my start, or who gave me a start, which just hit me with the perfect pitch. I didn't know he was pitching at the time, but I was like, man, this guy's talking to me. Like everything he was saying about just the industry, what's expected of you, the pounciness, the responsiveness, the go-getterness, the assertiveness.
Right.
You can't crumble. You need to be able to work under pressure. You can't, you know, turn away from fear, X, Y, Z under adversity. I was just like, this is like speaking my language, like
yep.
excitement, adventure, spontaneity, da da da. I was like, sounds better by the second.
Right.
And then, yeah, you know, you get compensated well for that. But
right.
the end all is that you're dealing with people that for the most part are afraid. Mm. And uncertain about finding one of, if not the most basic human needs,
mm-hmm.
and that's shelter.
Right.
Right? And so, like, you get stuck on a deserted island, people think, like, what's the first thing you need to do? Like, you go to any survival school, jungle, desert, cold, doesn't matter. Food is not number one.
It's building the hut.
Yeah. Finding water or shelter. Depends on the environment, but,
yep.
like, those are neck
top
and
two.
Neck. So there's a lot of glam, especially in New York, right? About like the size, you know, up in the sky, the numbers are big and everything's daunting. But at the end of the day, it's like you're still seeking the same thing I am, and it's a roof over your head, right? A
right.
place you're gonna make memories, laughs, smiles. You might have children, some cries too.
Right.
But like that's a serious thing to be entrusted with. That's a big responsibility,
totally.
Right?
Totally.
And I take that seriously, and I take that as a kind of my way of continuing the fight. You know, I'm not a war fighter anymore.
Right.
But now, hey, man, it's very similar. Like when I was learning this and I was like, okay, I see a lot of correlation here of like mission planning, route reconnaissance, surveillance and target acquisition, profiling a client just like a high-value target.
Right.
This is the situation, the mission, our execution is X, the administration and logistics for support are here, our communication, what we would call command and signal is this. And I was like, it's pretty much the same. I mean, clothes are nicer.
Right.
Nobody's shooting at you. The environments are nicer. There's air conditioning.
Right.
And at the end of the day, you're dealing with someone in a little more special of a way, I think, than, you know, in harms.
Right.
And when I started to see that, I was like, eureka.
Mm.
This podcast is sponsored by Hatteras, a leader in print-based communications, with services ranging from high-impact direct mail and packaging to retail graphics and environmental branding. Hatteras helps global brands engage with their target audience through the power of print. Reach out to them at hatteras.us for help with your next print project.
So now, how would you, for the people out there that see real estate as I think one of the biggest things, people look at real estate from the beginning at like, they look at like the $1 million listing New Yorks and like just the TV shows where it's like, you know, you're in a nice suit or you're dressed very professionally, you know, you're closing big checks and blah, blah, blah. And it's such a different wake-up call when you realize that, to your early point, that you don't get a paycheck anymore. So if you're not hunting, you're not fucking eating.
Yeah.
And it's been very, I've seen friends and family and just people I know that have jumped into real estate, got like, you know, all these nice clothes, posting. And then after 3 to 4 months or 6 months of not getting a paycheck, it's like, I can't fucking do this. It's not sustainable. Right? So what was that like for you in the beginning? Right? And how did you build your legs for, you know, that? Because again, New York, I think New York is a, it's like an interesting, it's so unique, right? Because obviously there's a bazillion different apartments, you know, it's who you know and who you meet better yet. But like the normal average Joe or Jane, right? Like they don't have, because even if you sell, like the average agent in New Jersey, and don't quote me, I think the statistic is like their first year in business, they do like maybe like 15 to 20K. And that's before tax, right? So like it's not livable. And so like it's not like New York where it's like you sell a $2 million apartment, you're gonna cut a nice decent check that can float you. So what would you say in terms of people who are just getting started, any advice for people who are getting started into real estate that have to get through that? It's called the valley.
Oh God, love it. Because I know the valley, I've been there, and I still live in there.
Right,
you know,
right.
Because it's rewarding.
Yeah.
And it's consistent. It's not necessarily what people want to do. Just the same thing like 15,000. It's not livable.
Right.
I dare argue it might be.
Right. Depending if you make it.
It might not be the way you want to live,
right,
or think the right life you deserve, but right, like 15,000 can go a long way in a lot of places.
Right.
Still, arguably even New Jersey, Northeast Jersey, right, or into New York. Again, right, you might be in a shared place. You might not have the closet space you want. You might be in a cot, da, 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 but like,
right,
you might be able to do it if you want it that bad. You'll
right
find a way.
Right.
But as far as in the glam and how's that valley starting out, oh man, I was chasing everything that came at me. You know, I was the one that I would call them like the rejects list or the mm-hmm dogs with fleas, right? Like
right,
I've got a $1,500 client that's got a king size bed, 100-pound pit bull. They want a 1-bedroom apartment in Soho. This is impossible. Give it to me.
Right.
You know, I got this one over here that's like unrealistic expectations. She's not responsive. Give it to me.
Right.
I said yes to everything.
Right.
Didn't care.
Right.
I was the same way in the military. I was the same way in the bar that I worked at in college. I was the same way in the oil field. I always
said
yes.
Can you shed some? So I want you to shed some wisdom on that, right? Because I think a lot of people, especially, I would say millennials down. Right, you could argue boomers too, but I'm gonna say millennials and on. So millennials, Gen Z, whatever else. It's more often that they don't want to, like, they don't view it as like perfect example. I'll give you a quick example, and then I want you to shed wisdom on it. Is like when I started Adapting Social, right? Like I was going door to door in Brick, the town that I grew up in, as a 17-year-old kid, knocking on doors all the time, right? For over a year, and going to every networking event that I could possibly go to, right? And when I finally got the yeses, it was people like that, where it was like, I would do a free, and before, I was the one doing everything, right? So I would go out with a video camera, get some content for social media, I was the one doing the email blast, the marketing, everything, right? So, but I would do everything almost practically for free in most cases to build my rep and to build my portfolio. And so what you're saying is like, okay, you know, I'm out there, I'm taking the clients that are not of value to most people because it's not worth the headaches and whatever, right? And I think the problem with the younger generations is that they look at it like they already are worth way more, right? Like there's an example where I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago, I had somebody where they wanted to come be an intern for like, I think it was videography or photography. And I told them, because we were having a conversation, so they interned for us, they did a couple projects, and then they wound up like just kind of doing their own thing. And I was like, dude, go out there, because like they had no business yet, right? They were only like just getting out of college. So I was like, go do a million video shoots for free for all the local businesses, and then they'll at least know your name. So if they need something, they're going to call you, right? and then just make it economical to build a portfolio. And they wouldn't do it. They're like, no, like, I'm not doing that. Like, you know, I should be getting paid $200, $300, $400 per shoot, or this, that, whatever. So what type of wisdom do you, like, can you throw on people who have that mentality that, like, they think they should come out on top already and already have that mentality because of, obviously, social media, Instagram. They're seeing everybody out there. Oh, I'm in this penthouse, or I'm doing this, or I'm driving this car, or I'm doing blah, blah, blah. So they want to come out of, or even people who didn't go to school that are starting that want and expect to have, like, the cream of the crop.
No one wakes up like you, meaning put together, polished, you know, name of the building here on the wall. Like, it takes time.
Right.
It takes struggle. It takes effort. It takes sacrifice, you know, and for people to, you know, think maybe you're entitled to something. I mean, I might, hey, I graduated from school. I was in the military, like, business school, like that, like, I deserve.
Right.
Hey, everybody else went to school too.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else did great in school. Hey, they served in the military too. Like, never me now. Like, I don't ever expect anyone to care.
Right.
And I don't mean that in a negative way or like, right. Hey, but just don't be looking for it. You know, be out there. Like, for me, I'm out there because every one of those transactions that I knew was discarded or not prioritized was a life. Somebody's kids, that's somebody's daughter, somebody's, you know, somebody's child that's there alone, afraid, and desperate. I mean, they're looking for help. They've called, they've contacted us. They are, they are a sourced, defined lead asking for help.
Right.
How much leverage that is already? This person, they know we're not selling fucking pizza.
Right.
Like, so I know what you want. I know you need shelter. I know where you're from because your area code said that. And you told me on the phone or you told my office manager and in tears of like, hey, I'm coming from this state and I don't know anything about New York. You've already divulged so much information, yet because your number of what you're looking for is not, you know, fitting that attraction of a higher end person, you've gotten passed down the trough. And I was always like, fucking give it to me.
Yeah, take
because
it.
I'm going to turn this person into what they've been profiled as, and they're going to feel like a fucking $1 million client.
Right.
You know, and like, that's a totally different reward factor, I think. And like, every one of those people has been a life that was changed, I would say, or just impacted, like you said, to use your word, to an impacted life. But I saw every one of those as an opportunity to get reps in, right? Like, same thing, like, in, again, in the Marine Corps, whether it's in the weight room, like, you know, how many times you dry fire at the pistol range over and just taking it out of the holster. Like, how many times we'd have to out of the holster, reholster, out of the holster, reholster. And then finally getting to present to the target. Then finally getting to put a magazine in it. Then finally getting to put actual rounds in it. So by the time you really start shooting, man, you've done that thousands of times dry, right? Now I'm getting to use real world scenarios with real people to be able to work on my delivery, work on my understanding, my listening.
Right.
Hearing how they think and what they want, you know, like, many people just haven't been listened to and like the value of just listening and like hearing your needs,
right?
What's important to you, what you don't want, you know, as opposed to, yeah, I went out with this guy and like, I told him I wanted to stay within this budget. The first place he showed me was above budget. You might not have meant to do it, like, but like right off the cuff, you didn't
listen
to one little detail. Right. Oh, this is a great place. It might be a great place, but like that one little thing can set you apart, you know? And like, as opposed to polite, punctual, on time, organized, specific, and again, attentive to detail.
Yeah.
I just think a lot of that gets lost in translation if you're worried about the number, right? If you're focused too much on what's it going to do for me, what am I going to get out of it, I need this money, I need this transaction. We fucking all do.
Right.
You know, we're not here
at the end of the day.
Right. It's
at
not pro bono. We all, we all fucking do, especially in New York, right? It's again, it's vertical slope. I know that. We know that. The clients know that. But like, you got to see their heart in there as opposed to like, again, the dollar signs.
Right. So what is one thing right now that you essentially wish that you knew when you were young?
Oh God.
Let's say 23 years old. If the you from today could go back and say, yo, Lil Jake.
There's going to be a huge housing bubble and crash in 2008. And I would have had a lot of credit swaps purchased and set up. And I'd be a billionaire. Right? That's one thing. I would say the Patriots would come back and beat the Falcons in Super Bowl 50, whatever, at being down 28-3, and I bet the house on that. I'm sure that second half spread was ridiculous, plus 110,000 or whatever it must have been.
Right. What about from like a mentality slash world perspective standpoint?
Just shut the fuck up and listen. Just shut the fuck up and listen to the world, to people. Like, there are secrets out there people are just dying to give you, and nuggets of information about who they are, what they want, and what you can learn from that.
Right.
Read more, Jake. The secrets of the world are hidden in books. And I say that funnily, and I've said that to you before. Like, it's not, yes, I know it's not a secret, like it's a book, but that's somebody's dream.
Right.
That's somebody's everything. That somebody took the time to craft this, like, here, this is a gift of my ideas, my beliefs. They might be weird. You might not like them. You might hate them, but like, check that out.
Right.
It's like, fuck, that's a gift, man. I might have paid for it, but that's a gift.
Yeah.
I didn't read a lot as a kid.
Right.
I didn't like it. I liked movies better. I liked music. Right. But I just didn't read much. I would say to read more, but just listen, man. Just shut the fuck up and listen.
Yeah. Just for anybody listening in right now, I think one of the biggest things on that point, I think that I've learned, right? Because I went from being, when I was younger, I was introverted. And then, like, part of my journey, what really helped me was, you know, we swapped family stories, right? And so I had to step up as a leader in my family. And then one of the best things that ever happened to me was I got a job at Ruby Tuesdays.
Nice.
And like when I was in high school, I didn't go to college.
Good buffet. Good buffet.
Good salad buffet, right? Yeah. So, but when my buddy got a job there, he was like, dude, he's like, just come be a busboy or whatever. And then I wound up getting a job because, you know, the customer started to like me. So I got a job serving. And then like I would have to talk to like a table of 4 or 5 people, then sometimes 10 people. And I realized like I had to stand up there and be the actor and make them like me. In order to make their experience better, right? To make sure that they're at the forefront of the experience in order for me to get paid, right? And the range of that tip was based off of how good I made them feel, how good the experience was, how many fucking diet sodas did I run out as fast as possible, right? So, you know, how quickly they clean the plates off. So I think, you know, one of the biggest things was, you know, getting out of my shell because of that job and because, like, again, for my brothers and sisters and stuff. And I'm sorry, my brothers and sister, you know, and it really got me out of my shell and taught me how to get out there. But I think one of the biggest things that is still like a challenge for me, because viscerally, I don't like to shut the fuck up, right? And so, like, part of what I'm learning and my coach is going through with me over the past 4 years that I've been working with him is, you know, what I'm speaking to you, I already know. What you're going to say to me might be new information I don't know, right? To your point. So there's golden nuggets around the world that people just want to dying to give you. And I think that's the biggest challenge, you know, that I'm even learning, right? So a lot of people out there, you know, who are in sales, right? Because typically if you're in sales, you're normally an extrovert by nature. So you can go out there, you can go sell, you can go talk to anybody, get rejected. And that's why when I started to sell, thank God I had that Ruby Tuesdays in me already. Because I was getting rejected left and right, left and right, left and right. But what I started to learn is what you're saying is when people would say to me, oh, I'm not interested. Like, because some of these people around here, too, they're hardcore with no solicitation. So, like, when I would go knock on the door and I'm 17 in a suit knocking on a pizzeria.
Don't care.
This guy's fucking all got all sauce on him and shit. He doesn't give a fuck who I am. You know, he's like, what is this little fucking jabroni want? Why is he here? Like,
the school project? Kid? Like,
what can I do for you, kid? You want a coupon? So it's like, you know, it's like really, then I started to really listen and ask the questions like, hey, why aren't you giving me a shot? Or what's like, what could I have done better to maybe, you know, and then they started giving me these little golden nuggets on, oh, you know, listen, to be honest with you, you're coming and I'm so busy right now. The time is off. Oh, boom. All right. Got it. So what's a good time for you? You know? So it's like the listening component for anybody, because no matter what, I think everybody has to realize that everybody's in sales. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you're doing. If you're single, you're selling yourself, right? Whether you're trying to find your mate, if you're in your career, you're selling yourself. You're trying to grow, get promoted, do what you're trying to do. You know, when we're wearing certain clothes, whether it's polo, whether it's whatever the hell, we're selling ourselves. We're creating an image. We're creating a character, right? Who's that character, right? And who are we selling, right? So I just think that to your point, when you're looking at listening, to people, right? As opposed to being, I don't even know the word, closed off maybe. It's really a benefit. It's really a benefit.
It costs you nothing. Right. Also, it's like, do less and you're going to get more.
Right.
Like, what? And like, that's weird. And it gets hard because when you start sharing things, you're like, ah, I want to talk, like, oh my God, me too. Like, you want to jump in and like share that together. But like, in those moments is the ones when I say, really pull it back. Because that's when you can see someone like blossom.
Right.
And they're really, John, oh my God, this. And like, and as much as you would be like, oh, me too. And like, you might be like clawing, like, let them have it. Because they'll be like, God, John was so great. He hosted such a great space. And like, you're in your head, you're like, fuck, I didn't do anything. I just sat there. Like, talking to my my boxing trainer the other day, he's got a client that he trains often, sometimes for 2 hours, a lady. And he's like, dude, the other day we only boxed for like 20 minutes because we talked for about 70. And I say talked, she talked, I listened. But that's part of the job. You know, you double as a relationship counselor, a best friend, a shoulder for people to cry on. But he's like, she loves me because I listen.
Right.
And kind of you talking about making people, how you made them feel serving at Ruby Tuesday. Like, on the way here, reading me on the train, I'm reading a book.
Right.
I'm aware of who Nelson Mandela is. And he's got a whirlwind of great quotes. And like one of them talking about, one of those, him talking about, people will forget what you did. People will forget what you said. They won't forget how you made them feel.
Mm-hmm. Impact.
And I was like, ugh, like highlight, and I highlight, and I,
yes!
and I highlight, you know, like not an e-reader. This is a open book, paperback, and I've got a highlighter that I got to tear out, and I highlight,
Right.
And I was like, oh man, that's it. And for me in this industry now, like I am not the biggest shark out there. I mean, I'm a guppy compared to most of these other people, for sure.
Right.
Transaction amount. Deal volume, years in the business, connections and circles. And I'm not trying to compete with you on that, right? So it's not about what you did for me and making that impact and impression on the customer. Mm-hmm. It's not about what you said, because Lord knows talk is fucking cheap in this world and definitely in this business. And there's a lot of slander and plenty of just fraudulent nonsense.
Right.
But I guarantee you every single one of my customers will tell you they remember how I made them feel.
Right.
And like, compete with me on that, motherfucker. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, you're right. I'm not trying to get into that water with you on those things.
Right.
Stand in this circle and look me in the eye with honesty and truth in your heart and tell me you can do that.
Right.
Because I can. Like, I definitely go to sleep with fear.
Right.
I wake up with fear. Like, I got to pay rent. I got bills too. I got dues and whatnot, and I've got liabilities. Yeah, and that's scary. And I'm trying to do this on my own, launching a business and like, burning the ships, right? Like all that shit. Like that's fucking terrifying.
No,
every single day is fear.
Right.
But having that surety of knowing that I did it with honesty, I did it with, you know, genuine
integrity,
like it makes you sleep easy, man.
Totally. Totally. I love that. So let's segue to personal development, right? So a lot of times you can look at an entrepreneur based off of their habits and what they do. And that creates the person you see in front of you, right? Is there some things that you do, whether you mentioned you're a reader, like is there a daily routine regimen that you have to set your day up in the morning for success? Is it one for night, for the next day? What does that look like for you? And then last but not least on that topic, who is somebody in the world that's a visionary that's inspiring you, that inspires you right now?
I definitely have a schedule.
Okay.
I love having that, right? Like I'm an early riser, usually between 4 and 4:30. Start off right away with cold water on my face. I drink a lot of it first, but then it just totally submerges my face to try to wake myself up. We all have this thing called the mammalian dive reflex.
Mm-hmm.
Basically the sinus cavity on the superficial.
Yeah.
Anytime that's touched with water, your body immediately reacts to it. It knows that it's underwater or it's somehow dealing with water. So for me, I get cold because it's cold and the temperature contrast and hits that and it's just like a poof right off in the morning. So that's my first thing. Start waddling around and start to stretch. I move around. You know, my body's been at rest for 6 hours minimum, right, of sleep. So the first thing I start to do is like a mobility flow in the morning. something similar to yoga, a little bit of yoga and a little bit of other just static stretching,
right?
But just to move around. And I don't want to sit back down. Like once I'm up in the morning, I don't sit down, sometimes not at all during the day. Right. Literally, because so I'm like, I've literally been sleeping or resting for that amount of time. Right. I'm not going to go back down, at least until that amount of time has passed. Mm. So finish that with a read, maybe 20, 30 minutes, depending on what I'm into, what I'm feeling. I meditate typically before or after the reading.
Okay.
Right now I'm at like 8 minutes. So I might kick it up to 10 minutes soon enough, but every day.
That's cold, a decent amount of meditation.
Every day, cold water on the face, mobility flow in the morning, light some incense a lot of times too, read, meditate. Mm. Before I go work out. It used to be get up, brush my teeth, get out the door and go pump steel.
Right.
Now, it's like, and that was always a primer to the day, and I always still maintain that exercise element. Right. But now I've got like this super primer before all that, which is like, I thought that was the sweet spot, getting up and just exercising right away, you know, the Rocky thing, wake up, five eggs, and just, you know, run out the door.
Just get after it.
But now it's like priming this first and giving in to all this.
I love that.
Is a totally different reward system.
I love that.
I feel so much more ready to receive and like and tear into the day.
I love that. That's fire, man. And it's funny, one of the things that, so 2020 for me is the year where I'm kind of really feeling out what my body needs, as opposed to, like, you know, for the past over a decade, I've admired people like Tony Robbins, Steve Jobs, you know, Bezos, just people like that. And when you looked at Tony Robbins as an example, wakes up extremely early, you know, does the cold plunge in a cold pool, freezing cold pool, or whatever to call it, and, you know, starts the day super early, does all his meditation, blah, blah, blah. And so I did that for so long, looking at other people who are super successful and modeling them and saying, okay, well, you know what? If this person's, this is their routine, I'm going to do this because I'll be successful. And one of the things that I'm saying to myself now is I think that's important for depending upon where you are in your career, right? Or in your business or whatever it is you're doing, right? Because me being up at 4 a.m. for 10 years and like getting at it, going pump steel, meditating, affirmations, the whole thing, I think it was a big part of me getting disciplined, right? That was the biggest thing for me, just being a disciplined animal. Because Lord knows I'm an impulsive animal. I want to just go do everything fucking right now, like just go do it. I don't want to think about it, just go.
Sure.
I'll deal with the ramifications later. And it's helped, you know, frame me a little bit and put me down, you know, in that regard of getting myself set up. But one of the things I said to myself, because COVID threw me for a loop in all my PD, my personal development, right? Because I was like home all the time. And I, for over a decade, I was always on the road, meeting people, flying here, doing this, doing, I was always going. And then I had a 2-year period where I'm home with my wife, which since I, so we joked around, we said, I've been with her now for 8 years. At the time when I first started dating her, I never really saw her because I was always in the, I was always going, got engaged, moved in together, was never home. And then boom, 2 years now I'm locked in the house with her and I loved every moment of it. And I'm like, I'm not going back. I said to myself, I was like, listen, I was like, if this is the life, I was like, I'm going to build what I'm building, but I don't have to be a slave to the road anymore because it's working now. And I still, I'm still an animal in terms of like getting out. Like this right here, going face to face, I hate Zoom meetings. I hate all that shit. I want to be in person, but it's not going to require 90 hours of my week being on the road in an airplane, going here, doing this. So my point though is that like my mindset was so hustle mentality based that I was working harder, not smarter. And I realized the shit out of that in the pandemic.
Yeah.
And again, and so now, you know, boom, put me in the pandemic in the beginning of March in 2020. And I'm home eating fucking snacks all the time. I'm drinking all the time. I'm on the couch watching stupid ass shows that don't matter to my life. And so I start to like this shit because I haven't done it in 10 years. I was like, it's almost like being a civilian. Like yeah. I came out and I'm like, damn, like this is, I feel so lazy, but I love it. Right? Like I enjoyed yeah. like viscerally. And I said to my coach, I was like, I feel wrong. And he's like, you have to give yourself an allowance to be lazy because, you know, when you're out there going, like, he's like, if you enjoy your downtime, and you like that, you shouldn't punish yourself for doing it, but you should give yourself, put in your schedule, put in the calendar. On a Sunday, if you want to sit on the couch and do shit nothing, put in the calendar, right? So you're whatever. Point being is that 2020 was the year where I said, okay, I'm gonna hybrid what I've done because of I looked at other entrepreneurs and how they got successful or what worked for them. And so for now, like I said to you last time we spoke, like I don't want to go pump steel. I want to box. Yeah. Like I have so much more fun with them. I'm in better shape. And I'm 30 years old. I'm married. Like, you know, I still, you know, have a lot of wind behind my sails and I don't have fun pumping steel anymore. And that's okay. Right. You know, and I had somebody on the podcast literally yesterday that was like, every night before bed, I have Haagen-Dazs ice cream. Nice. And he's like, but it works for me. I'm happy.
Nice.
Like, and so like, that's my new mode. And I'm challenging people out there where it's like, you know, so now I went from waking up at 4 a.m. Right now I wake up, I think, every day, like 7:30. And for me, that's like super late. And I feel like a troll. I'm like, I wake up, I'm like, oh my God, I'm a bum. But like my body likes it. I'm enjoying it. But and I'm working out when I wake up. And then I'm also working out at lunchtime. And like, I'm just doing things different, right? So I think my point is like in your craft, because of you being in the service, you are so scheduled. And I've always been so scheduled because of my calendar and everything's been nuts. And I think so often we look at other people who are successful. And what pulverized me was, and a year ago, I was listening to a podcast with Elon Musk and Joe Rogan's like, how do you sleep? Like you have like five things that are changing the world happening right now. How the fuck do you sleep? And he's like, no, he's like, I sleep 6 hours a day. You know, I wake up at like 8 o'clock or whatever. And you know, and I start my day, I have cereal, I see my kid and I go on about my life. Like he's like a normal Joe, right? He just knows how to time hack. So I think for me, I was like, holy shit. Like it opened my eyes to then understand that like Jeff Bezos is the same thing. But in the beginning of their careers, they didn't sleep. It's a little different. So I don't know. So anybody out there, I think my whole spiel that I'm getting at is, for me, I'm testing like what works for my body.
Sure.
Like, I'm not eating nearly as many carbs. Like I lost like 20 pounds in the past. Like I told you, from boxing,
yeah.
From just cutting bread out of my life all the time. But like, I'm cool with it because I'll make up. Like the other day, I went out and I had an ice cream, and I was like, and I hadn't done it in a while, and I was like, but
what's your flavor?
Cool. Chocolate all day.
All day chocolate.
All day chocolate.
Nice.
That's and strawberry.
There you go. Okay.
What about you?
I can dig both of those.
Okay.
I love Rocky Road.
Rocky Road.
Mint chocolate.
Oh,
it's up there.
Mint chocolate is for sure up there.
Banana's a big one though for me too.
Banana.
Yeah, like fresh.
Like, you're saying like a whole combo of all this?
No.
Like mint chocolate.
Definitely
with
separate.
On it?
Definitely separate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But love banana.
I might have to. There's a place down the road that has this crazy banana. But so anyway, I'm alluding
what
to...
What happens in Point Pleasant Beach.
Stays in Point Pleasant. But what I was alluding to and going down that rabbit hole with was, so for you, because you've been so structured because of obviously your training and the service and then obviously things work with you, don't work with you, is there any, like what are some allowances that you give yourself in terms of like I joke around with some people and it's like, you know, if I were to interview Tony Robbins, I'd be like, dude, you ever sit on the couch and just fucking have a Dorito? You ever just fucking pop on? Like, what is your guilty pleasure?
First off, it was so cool listening to you talk about Tony Robbins and say, like, you know, he gets up in the morning, cold water,
plunges.
Meditation, and I'm like, ah, I guess that's good that I do this.
These things, right?
You know, that made me feel good about what I
good.
Do.
Yeah.
Thinking, like, you know, there's method to the madness, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, like, I have, you know, whether it's from childhood or time spent in service, like, those, and I would say a lot of it in service is, you know, when you're away from family and loved ones and in places that are just not the greatest at times, like you really vibe in those environments and connect with the people you're with and the things that you do. A lot of movie watching,
right?
A lot of video game playing, and like I can't put it into words how much that became like so comforting of a place. And with junk food, you know, we're snacking on chips, we're doing this, so like that might be in a lot of us already,
right?
But like it really gets hammered into you because we max it the fuck out.
Hey,
let's watch the entire Star Wars anthology back to 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 back. And we're going to eat all this popcorn. We got all these snacks. And hey, somebody brought us a care package from wherever. And we're going to smash the whole fucking thing. And we're all going to dip while we do it.
Right. And I was going to ask you about
that. And if we can chief cigarettes on the side, like smoke them if you got them. Like, so like those moments and experiences are such adverbial extremes of human condition, right? So like the saddest, the gladdest, the maddest, the tired, the most tired, the most hungry, the most wet, the most dry, the most angry. You experience those there.
Right.
And so like for me, a lot of times during my downtime, if I'm stressed or whatnot, looking for something, I'm almost trying to recreate those moments of like, man, pancakes would really fucking hit the spot right now, but they've got to be the most decadent, rich, cascaded with fucking multiple layers of this. Like,
we got another place here for you.
Oh, God. So, like, pancakes, French toast, and cereal were always my, like, cornerstones of, like, satisfying that. But lately, it just hasn't been the same because I haven't been able to... I'm trying to recreate something from the past that evokes that evoked an emotion then.
Got it.
That doesn't do it the same anymore.
Got it.
So now I've been on a high of like looking for new connections, right? So like a couple weeks ago, I took a day out of the city and went off into upstate New York and stayed in this little yurt, like a hut dwelling, totally alone, turned my phone off, was out in the snow, and I literally just sat there and like feet out, hanging out the door, and was just alone.
So what do you
And that was like my downtime.
That's your cleansing?
That was my downtime. That was my ice cream. That was my whatever you want to label it as. That was my like, everything's turned off. The world can wait. Mm-hmm. Nothing's going to change in the blink of an eye. And like, I'm out here just like, man. Like feet in the snow, it was cold. But like, dude, it was something that was atypical to me.
Right.
Something so normal, so natural, so simple was taboo to me. And because of that being taboo, it was exciting. It was cool. It was different.
But
and
you
like,
shouldn't be unplugged. You shouldn't be off your phone.
Yeah. Right. You know, like it's so it's like almost seemingly counterintuitive.
Right.
But like that gave me so much more of a dopamine kick experientially than I know a stack of pancakes ordered from Seamless is going to do for me sitting on my couch in my apartment.
Because
it's going to show up. Oh, they forgot the syrup. Fuck. Like, you know, I ordered chicken from Popeyes. They forgot the sauce.
Right.
Fuck. Like, like, yeah, I'm human too. And like, can't have fried chicken without my sauce. Like, this is terrible. You know what I mean? And so trying to find those experiences elsewhere, man, naturally and without the need of other things and just seeing like how great I was and like how cool it was to just be back out there talking to animals on the farm and shit. It was like being a kid again. And like, I think for me, reconnecting with my child as constantly as I can. And again, New York is buzzing. There's always noise. There's always screaming and shouting and speed and energy and demand, expectation. Right. Having to be able to turn that off, oh man, that's a real gift. Now, most people could say, well, that's rest. Like, that's not really like cutting it loose. I'm like, in my world, it is.
But to you, it works for your body.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's the root of it, is figuring out what works for Jake, what works for everybody out there. Because not everybody functions the same way. Like, I can tell you honestly, like, the 10 years that I woke up early as hell, I never loved it. I never woke up. Like, I loved the result, don't get me wrong. But I never loved it. And I think there's some people who's created insane success. And success doesn't have to mean financial. Like, impact. Like, you know, giving back. Whatever the hell they're doing for their families. And they did it on their schedule, their time, how they vibe, how they talk. You know, we were talking about Kanye West before, and it's like somebody like him who people are like, the guy's fucking crazy. Like,
he's brilliant.
Right. You know? But he's doing it his own way, and everybody has that opportunity. So for our last segment here, all right, you know, I want to see if there's something that is any sort of quote or adage that has, like, really stuck out to you over your time that, like, really resonates with you. That you can share, even if it's a Jake original.
Yeah, sure. I love the movie Days of Thunder. I love Tom Cruise. I think he's a great actor. And in the movie, his character Cole Trickle says to Nicole Kidman, she's talking to him about racing again. He's sustained this big injury in a crash, and he's rehabilitating, about to get back in the car. And she's like, I'm worried about you. Like, what are you going to do? And, you know, what happens if? And he's like, I'm more afraid of being nothing than I am of being hurt.
Oof. Let's go. That's a good one.
And that's like...
people need to hear that more.
I mean, to me, that's everything.
Yeah.
You know?
That's like the proverbial, like, your biggest risk is not taking any.
Yeah, you miss all the shots you don't take, you know. I mean, yeah.
Wayne Gretzky, baby.
Yeah, like and for me it's I'm more afraid of being nothing than I am of the challenge or the risk or, right. or the fear or whatever could happen.
The road rash isn't as scary.
Yeah,
as
like what's
being on the road.
Again, back to like you mean hard work is the barrier? Okay, right. Well like risk is the barrier or like fear is so strong. Mm-hmm. And that's what paralyzes so many of us.
Right.
And so, like, for me, I'm like, the more that I smell it, the more that I know it's there, I'm almost like, this is where I'm supposed to be. Mm. You know, when I'm comfortable, I'm like, all right, this is kind of easy, and it's nice. But, like, when I'm afraid, it's like that spidey sense kicks on of, like,
right.
You know, this is a good place for you to be.
Mm. So, so I'm going to throw one more at you, put you on the spot here again. So, I like to talk about legacy, right? And so, in terms of my perspective of viewing legacy, I like the thought of reverse engineering things, right? So most people think like, okay, who I am today, well, I'm gonna work towards it, and this is who I am on a piece of paper, what I'm gonna try to put into reality. I like the thought process of looking at the end and working backwards of what has to happen, right? So what's the one thing that's on this planet thousands and thousands of years when you're not here, and it's your grave, right? So what would your, knowing who you are today and what you want to accomplish and be, what is going to read on that grave if you had to make that decision today about Jake Thomas?
Dude was fucking radical. I think about my kids. I think about my brother's daughter.
Yeah.
And them being grown, me being gone.
Yep.
So, like, I'm already gone. Like, and I'm looking at their lives as being blossomed and successful in their own rights, right? They've got to do the things they wanted to do, grow up the way I would hope they would be afforded to grow,
right?
Be loved, be cared for, and then their impact and changing lives themselves, whether it be something that I left in a trail for them to kind of continue on with or to do their own thing, but just providing a platform for the next generation, you know, like making sure that what I did wasn't for naught, right. Whether it's one person, a group of people, you right. know, and like the way I see it now is with the lives that I'm hopefully impacting and leaving impressions on, maybe it's my way of trying to pay it forward best I can, right? Like right. by becoming a household name in this business or in this industry, whether it's just in New York or maybe on a larger scale, you know, like somebody that can change generations or transcend generations. I think it's not an easy thing to do, right? Mm-hmm. Like you need the forum, you need the right podium, you need the right amplifier to get the message out there. And for me, I'm always thinking like 10, 15 years down the road. Like if I want to be me in 2035, what do I need to do now to be getting there? So if I need to be eating bowls of shit on the regular or not eating a lot on purpose so that I can make sure I'm saved up for and being able to give back
right.
later on down the road, good. Then right. I know what I'm doing now is going to help better me get there later, as opposed to like, man, I'm just blowing it all out now, which I can look back in my 20s and see that I did do mm-hmm. and where that did not get me.
Right.
As opposed to, okay, now there's a little more purpose and like bigger picture. So I see everything two-sided, macro and micro.
Right.
Right. Got to have macro perspective of the battle space, top-down, big picture view, but still need to be micro, still need to be a warfighter, still need to be able to kick doors in and like and do that.
Right.
And being able to balance the two of those, I think, is where I find the sweet spot.
So if you were going to put that in a phrase on a stone, how do you do that?
Oof.
Like while you're thinking about it, I'll tell you mine. So once I started to ask this question over a year ago, because this is actually a high school project that one of our teachers had for me in history. And it resonated so deeply with me. I was like, damn. And then I was on a podcast like 2 years ago, and I was like, damn, I want to ask this question. And the person I asked was like, whoa, fuck, I don't know. Like, holy shit. But I think of the origin thought for me of my family. I think of why I started adapting, how it changed my life, and how I was here to serve my family. And it went from me serving my siblings and my parents and my grandma to, wow, I can serve other people that are like me, entrepreneurs. And then, obviously, as life goes on, you just your own characteristics fly out of you. And I'm super impulsive, right? Like the name of my boat is Impulsive, too. which my wife named very, very candidly. But so when I really think about this question, because it's funny, I would ask this question
but nobody ever asked me it back when I would ask it, because you're so in your own thoughts of like, fuck, what would I say here? Because you're on camera, you're getting videoed, right?
Sure.
And so what I came up with was an impulsive and loyal servant who did it his way. Because at the end of the day,
it's true.
I started to do what I wanted to do to serve my family and help them out of their financial hardships. You know, from that to helping my siblings through college and paying for it, or helping entrepreneurs build their business and grow and be able to do more things financially, or grow the economy, or do whatever they need to do. At the end of the day, I'm serving, right? And I'm loyal to the people around me that are my family, friends, whatever. And there's nothing that I wouldn't do for those people. So I think for me, that's where it was like, boom, if I could put in a small phrase,
yeah,
that's a little edgy, right? Because yeah, it's like, damn, was this guy a butler? Like, because it depends what year somebody's reading that, right? Was this guy a butler?
Sure.
I was a modern day butler.
I didn't think butler until you said it.
Right, like servant, right? Because like, somebody could look at it very literal, right? Eventually, a couple hundred years later, my family's generation would be like, damn, great, 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 Uncle John was a fucking butler. And he was a butler his way.
And an impulsive one, too.
Right? He just fucking threw out all the cakes everywhere. But yeah, so that was mine, just to give you some thought.
That's cool. You know, we talked a lot about, or I told you before about what is so important to me with this career path, and mm-hmm, how, you know, the voids that I saw in the business were human.
Mm.
You know, generations of time between peers, between consumers and people in the industry, they just got forgotten. You know, right, the demand in New York is so high. The people just keep coming. You don't like me? Fuck you then. You don't like me? Fuck you then. You don't like me? Fuck you then. Because the line of people that'll work with me, regardless of how bad I treat them, is out that door around the corner in five towns down.
Yep.
Doesn't matter. So I don't have to be fucking nice to you. I don't have to be on time. I don't, right, all these things of decency, humanity, I don't have to fucking do them.
Right.
So 30, 40, 50 years of that, why should I do it for you? Right?
Right.
And what I'm trying to instill is, again, just making people feel remembered, right? And so if I were to leave something on the headstone, it would say, it takes all the people to make a world. So that's like my way of saying, like, don't forget this.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to tell you about me or who I am, but it takes all the people to make a world.
Here's some back-end content real quick. Mm-hmm. I love that. And have you ever heard that Margaret Mead quote?
No, which one?
It takes, she said something along the lines of, never doubt a hopeful and courageous group of citizens to change the world, because in fact, it's the only thing that ever has. Right? Think about that. Like, let's go.
That's my highlighter.
Right? Like, when you think about that, like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Right? Like, a thoughtful group of people who are committed and, you know, are all in, like, can change the world, because that's the only thing that ever has changed the world. When you really think about that, like, so that gets me every fucking time. Right in the feels. So, dude, first and foremost, again, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
It's the one asset we don't get back. We got a little announcement we'll be making pretty soon with my man. You'll be seeing this face again pretty soon.
Yeah, yeah.
Where can people engage with you? So social, you know, all that stuff. Where can they find you? Website, the whole thing. Where can people engage with you?
Instagram's probably my most popular channel that I use. I'd say you can find me at Life Like Jake.
Right.
Website's the same, lifelikejake.com. News, a lot of real estate stuff will be on there. Closings, recent transactions. Mm-hmm. Ability to reach out to me, but of course, if you want to just tell me to go fuck myself, I welcome that too. So I hear from you know, anybody, but that's where I'm always at, and you know, usually sharing stuff in the stories, a lot about me, some stuff you might not like, which is even more reason to tune into.
Right, so, right. Check controversy.
It out. Yeah, yeah. I'm an antagonist at heart, very much so.
I
try to do it with a smile,
right?
But like, I love to poke the bear.
That's where you find all the good stuff, right?
Yeah, man. It's like, you know, like a comedian is probably going to be the great mediator of life, to be able to present contrasted arguments of sides and bipartisan, you know, issues, to be able to make it kind of funny and say, oh, okay, maybe there's a little purple here.
Right. That's awesome. So, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. Give Jake a follow, Life Like Jake on Instagram. That's his main channel. Great dude. Again, thank you for your service. No, you know, thanks, there's so much good content on there. You don't want to miss this. It's a great journey to follow. And Jake, again, thank you so much.
No, thank you, John. Appreciate it.